talking about having firearms here in Southern Oregon. By the way, it'd be hard to get all the firearms over here. There's more. There's 100 firearms for every person here, I'm sure. And that's just in the armory that's down the road. So, this state's got more 7.62 ammo by 39 than any other state in the union. Just Google that fact. You'll find that particular round, 80% of the rounds that are sold come here. Same as your AR-15 rounds. There's more AR-15s and more Yugoslavian rifles here than you could shake a stick at. They're called 7.62 by 39 on a Yugoslavian. By the way, it's a good rifle. But so what we have here is we have a failure of federal employees think they have a job and that their job requires them to do something that their boss tells them. Well, that's not true. What you have is you have duties to perform, and you might have a job on top of it that you have requirements to fill, but your first duty is to fill is your duties. And ask anybody that's ever served in the military, what's your job in the service? And they'll tell you your job. And then you ask them, well, what's your duties? And they'll totally give you a different answer. And the job set second to their duties. And so when we get federal employees that think their job is more important than their duties, we have anarchy. We have anarchy by them not doing their duties, their public duties of trust, by them violating it, thinking that they're the ones with the power and the sovereignty, when it's supposed to be we, the people, have the sovereignty. And you go to your county commissioners and you explain to them, well, I'm to lay this on your doorstep. You're my trustee. You're my county. You're between me and the federal government to your county commissioners. You go to your sheriff and you put them there. Now, if you don't have a sheriff that's willing to do that, be the chief law enforcement, be the head of a militia, then vote him out of office. Then I hope they do that in Burns County. Because, see, that sheriff was not performing his public duties of trust. He was collaborating with the enemy. As far as I'm concerned, right now, the federal government is an enemy of we the people. And until people wake up and understand you're losing your republic for a democracy, we can't allow that to happen. So I call the people, we the people, to come be keepers of the republic. And I ask that they come and lay their grievances at their county commissioners. Now, if you can't come here to Burns, Oregon, or Jackson County, Oregon, fine. Go to your county commissioners, have them vote in a resolution and mail it to our governor. So you get your county commissioners to help lay our grievances. Even though they don't really have any power over our county commissioners, it could have a big effect if we got everybody to go start going into their county commissioners, asking questions, look at their budget. You know, if you don't understand it, have them explain it to you. What's this here? What's that there? If you question everything, especially grants that are being given to your county. See, out here, the way they control everybody is, we're not going to let you cut wood, but in lieu of payments for the trustee that we're not going to do what we're supposed to, a duty to cut logs, to provide funding for the county, we're just going to give you welfare. And, you know, of course, you gotta keep all your government employees in a really good condition. And then they scream that they don't have enough money because here the public employees retirement trust, boy, that's a trust. That's the biggest fraud of trust I've ever seen committed by any government in the thing. Because these guys got gravy train retirements, most of them. And it's willfully underinvested because they wrote in, if you're what they call a tier one, we had to change it later because they couldn't afford to pay it anymore. They gave an 8% guarantee on your pension. You might leave, if you had 30 years in as a school teacher, you might leave with $1.5 million, $2 million, with an 8% a guaranteed return until the day they put you in the ground. Well, maybe the stock market was doing well, but anybody that would have thought of giving an 8% guarantee was a moron that agreed to that. I would tell them to go play in sand. I wouldn't give you an 8% annual adjustment every year, guarantee, no matter what the stock market does. Don't they realize what goes up must come down, and what must go down must go up? This is the beautifulest place on the world, as far as I'm concerned, is Oregon. It's got wonderful, it's got different geology all over the state. It's different in Burns than Wildwood. Wildwood, we get more rain, and we got more water, and we got more trees, dead fir mostly. Over there, they have more high desert. But it's beautiful, a place. People come to Oregon, and they visit, they fall in love, they move here, and then they realize we got all this screwed up politics and everybody wanting to control. In Medford, 90% occupancy rates. You couldn't rent a place if you had the money. And then they wonder why the homeless people are sleeping in their cars because they lost their apartment because they lost their job. And now they don't have money to pay rent somewhere. And so they got to move. And if they don't have a car and can't afford insurance, then they're stuck. There's no place for them to stay in the wintertime. You get so much time in the shelter, and that's it, and you're done. They throw you out. So, there is transitions where they can get help some of these people, but most of them got mental diseases. They couldn't hold a job if you needed assistance. But then you got every bit of county government here, every bit of state government. Seeking revenue. You got full service, supposed law enforcement officers writing traffic tickets for not wearing a seatbelt in the National Forest. And they ask them, what authority do you have to write tickets and take a traffic court to federal court? Why have you got traffic court at federal court? You're supposed to go to the state court. You guys don't have jurisdiction to write this ticket. I threw it back in his face. They cuffed him. When he got to jail, they released him right away. And he never went back. And as far as I know, you get a ticket from the Forest Service, don't go to court. Don't show up. Don't talk to them. Call them in and say, my car was stuck. Keep calling them back. Eventually, they go away. Because they don't have, even if they do find you, they don't have any authority to put a warrant out for your arrest for owing a ticket to the Forest Service. Because the Forest Service doesn't have any jurisdiction. They're conning you when you come in there. What they do is they say, well, this is a $500 ticket. You pay $150 today, you can go. Well, that's extortion because they don't have the authority to even hear a case in court there. You're mostly dealing with Mr. Fong negotiating all these away so that you plead guilty and you pay them some money that they don't have any authority to collect. So I had a friend written a ticket for something littering. There was a couple eggshells on the ground. And he couldn't get into the meeting. Every time he calls, they can't find anything because it's been so long they've kind of tossed the record. Another girl I know was written a ticket for not having a driver's license because she moved the car because the guy said, had Marcus cuffed and stuffed, and they pulled in on him. So what were they going to do? She jumped in the car and pushed it, jumped in it and steered it to a stop and stopped it to get it off the road. And so he wrote her a ticket for not having a driver's license. I said, sir, can you tell me where the jurisdiction is? I want to drive out here. If you look in your Oregon law, if it's unimproved property, whether it's government-owned or not, what do you mean by that? Is it paid or not? If it's not paid, you don't need a driver's license. In fact, you can't get a driver's license for, like, say, a quad. Now, the Forest Service wants you to buy a $25 pass to drive. We have a perfectly right to drive without it. They don't have any, they don't do anything with that. They don't fix no roads. They don't fix nothing. They charge all this money and they do nothing. I call the Forest Service, except for the firefighters, when they had tree guys, I respected them because they actually did work. But I've never seen Don Ross do anything that I considered lawful. Everything he did was criminal because it's based on raising revenue for the agency, and it's a form of extortion. And they should be charged with Title 18 crimes. I demand an audit on the Forest Service. I demand one on the BLM. So why are they not fulfilling their duties of trust? The duties of trust for the Forest Service is to stay out of Illinois State because they've been precluded to the valuable one. Now, they do have jurisdiction over oil and gas. They don't make the decision. Instead, the Department of Interior does, if they're going to go in and dig coal out or drill for oil wells. We don't have that geology around here. So this agency wouldn't have anything to do in the Mineral Department. Because there is no oil and gas here, and there's some places with small deposits of coal, but they're so small, nobody would, you can mine it out with a couple of pickup trucks. That's not really mining. That's just finding, getting lucky. But, so there is some coal here, but it's limited. It's in too small of pockets for the big guys to worry about. So, some of the guys where they found it, they dig it up so they can do their blacksmithing work. And so, that would be because it's that kind of coal. But the geology here, because it's mostly volcanic, that we don't have oil and gas like you have in Texas or anywhere, where it's more slack. I've had people come here from Texas and live over the Siskiyous, and they were absolutely petrified. And they were truck drivers, and I said, so how did you deal with going over the Continental Divide? And they look at me and they go, I don't want to talk about that one. They were absolutely afraid because it's up and it's down. There's not a lot of, down here in Southern Oregon, there's not a lot of flat land available. It's mostly mountains. That's why I love it. I love the mountains. And if my name is Everest, and it's the basis of the name Everest, the Mount Everest, the figure. And so, what we need to do here is we need to get the people organized of like mind and come and I don't know how we do this, how we organize it, but I would like we the people to conduct our own investigation and conduct our own thing, get organized and start taking our rights back and start bringing our republic back. Because see, as my namesake fought in the Battle of Trenton and Princeton, I have a duty of trust to keep to keep the republic close to my heart, to hold the republic dear. And this is what we need: is we need people to understand why we have a republic, why we fought England over one man rule or by oligarchy. We have a multi-man doing it that are in a club, and if you're not in their club, you're out. Well, we can't have that. What we need is we need people to be respected again. I need the respect. Now, some people say you have to earn it. Well, why is that? If you give respect, you'll get respect. If you give disrespect, you'll get disrespect. So I consider federal government employees, not all of them, some of them, are disrespectful, especially these ones that think that they're doing the good deed by winning Minor Dave off his claim because we don't like him. He's an animal, and he should be shot like a rabid dog. And a federal employee said that about me. Well, how do you feel that a federal employee would think you should be? You're an animal, and you should be shot down like a rabid dog. Well, to that person that said it, how would you like it if I haul you into court under out of accountability and for attacking the grant, and I take your pension, and you have to pay back all your money that you made for the 20 years or 30 years or however long you were in working for the federal government? How'd you like to have to pay that all back? And then I get 25% because you had waste, abuse, and fraud, because you committed the fraud, and that you think it's okay to shoot American citizens. See, that's the attitude. That's why Revolt's dead. It's because deciding as an animal to be shot as a rabid dog. Now, I've had that said about me. They never actually did it to me. But when the boy was shot, and I seen that video even before the cops analysis, I'm going, this is the lamest thing I'm doing. This guy's really got his hands up, don't shoot, and they shot him. And because he's white, nobody cares, except for a few people. I think a few million people now that may have never known him. Because see, a man that stands up for something that's right, because the right thing to do is not always the easy thing to do. When you're the only one left standing and everybody around you's got guns, and you're the only one there without a gun, and they're coming to get you, do you have the courage to stand there and stand your ground? I don't mean fight them. They're going to take you to jail. Let them take you to jail. I'm not talking about fighting them with firearms. What I'm saying is to go up and go in the court, to go to these commissioner meetings, to speak of what a republic is and what we need to do as an educator, as a human being, as one individual to another individual. We need, the problem we got is the government. The guy in Detroit, whatever he's doing, doesn't affect me. He's in Detroit. But I'm just using any example of anybody that has a problem with their city government, their county government, their state government, their federal government. Mostly in Detroit, mostly the feds will be moving in there because they're poisoning all the people with what? Oh, lead pipes. Well, great. They spend billions buying lead pipes. And it was supposed to be cheaper. This is where the corruption is. Who took the bribe to buy the red pipes? Who sold them the red pipes? Who did what? When? Where? That's what we need. We need the facts. And then we need to hold that person accountable that did that. Because, see, that's a crime. That's a real crime, is when you got government officials poisoning their constituents with lead pipes. Everywhere I look, I see government is the cause of the problem. I haven't seen them solve anything at all. And we got three county commissioners here in Josephine County. All three of them have been found guilty. Now, they haven't been sentenced yet for ethics violations for some things they did. And they got convicted. Now, of course, now it takes them 6-8 months before they figure out what they're going to do about it. Is it going to be a file? Is it going to be a letter of education? Or what? You know, we don't know yet. Because the ethics board run by our governor, who knows what they'll come up with. See, she's a Democrat. She might go ahead and screw these guys because they're Democrats, as they're Republicans. But they're more on her boat than they are with us. They're about their partnership. The unholy reliance of Republican capital cronyism and the cronyism of the fascists. And every step these guys thinking they're getting somewhere, they're actually taking 10 steps back. You can't get them, you can't get our county commissioners to stand up. They just sit there like they're lumps on the log. I never seen anything quite like it. But when, if anybody gets a chance, go to bradcounty.com. You'll see a county government where the people do care, and they do ask questions, and they do come in. And and then we have another county, another county commissioner, I won't mention his name, that got popped for drunk driving coming out of a strip joint. So, he almost hit a cop with his car coming out. He was so drunk. Of course, they won't tell us how much he blew over the limit or, you know, how long he was in the strip joint. But it seemed a little odd to me that he went up there on the county's dime to go to an Oregon Associated Counties thing over the ONC land to get lobbying back in. Well, what does he do? He goes to a strip joint and gets drunk and then comes back. You should watch that on DadCounty.com. That's a very good non-public site. You guys ought to consider linking to it. It's a very, they do videos, and they have a nightly broadcast at 7 p.m. Anyways, that is a very good site. Now, that guy in there that runs that, that's two guys. One's a libertarian. He used to be a Republican, and I don't remember his name. And then you got Bill Matthews, what you call a liberal Democrat. But he holds their feet to the fire. He may say he's a liberal Democrat, but he's not really. He's really more of middle of the road, because he questions where they spend the money. He questions audits that they provided. He actually goes to every meeting and films it. He's a very good man. No, I don't necessarily agree with everything he says, has to say, but that's why we got a First Amendment. He's allowed to say it. And so what we need to do is we need to organize the people, and it has to be who's interested in really doing it. I don't mean at a computer keyboard. I mean actually get out and go to your county commissioner meetings and start laying your grievances. And if you can have them write it up and submit it in writing, it's better for the record, because they lose video in our county. After a year, the video goes away, and then all there is whatever she wrote in the transcripts, which they don't write. They're funny on the way they write things here. They write it in shorthand. And if you put it in writing in the paper and give it to them, then you've actually got something in the record. By the way, because you're laying a grievance where you're supposed to be when it's of political nature, and it's where you're trying to deal with, like in my case, I was trying to deal with the Forest Service. I was trying to get the county commissioners to help come represent me. Well, they finally have agreed to do that. They agreed to it about 2 years ago, but I couldn't get in. I had to get us in the door. Well, I did that. I was successful. I got an investigation from the trustee, and my county rewrote their notice of wanting to coordinate with government to government. So that's being turned over to county legal counsel, where the guy we had in before wouldn't actually go file the lawsuit. This guy was preparing to, in 60 days, when he doesn't hear from him, he's going to sue him. And I told him, well, that's all fine and dandy. It's good you got all that work. You should save it for the Inspector General's office by talking, and I gave him all the information. And so I'm going to follow up on that to see because we do have grazing rights out here. Not as many ranchers out here actually have grazing rights like what the Bundys have, but there's a few people that they have them in their deeded ranches. They don't actually own them. The ranch owns them, because usually grazing lands are adjacent to your own land, and they're continuous. That's the way they're supposed to be. Now, over the years, they've let guys buy other grazing rights, which is, I guess, okay to do. Grazing rights, like they had a rancher out here that had grazing rights up where I was at. Well, he had his ranch taken for failure to pay his mortgage that he had on it. And for some reason, the bank gave up the grazing rights on it. They came in and took the cattle guard out. So there's no more grazing rights on my land. They did that unlawfully, because the bank can't surrender them because they're property, and they go with the ranch. So if they separated those grazing rights, they did it unlawfully, because you can't give them up. They're in perpetuity. And if you gave them up without selling them to somebody else, because they always have to stay grazing rights, and the Forest Service doesn't manage grazing rights. That's the BLM. Wherever they lie, even on Forest Service land. So I would like to know where those grazing rights were that the Forest Service got rid of, and what was their authority to get rid of them, and why didn't the trustee, which there isn't one, stop them because there isn't one? Do you mean why Congress doesn't fund the MineralsGate for patent purposes that they're supposed to be required to do? Well, the reason why the agency can get away with Congress telling Congress not to fund that anymore was they didn't have a trustee to say, hold on here a minute, you can't cut that budget. That's a permanent budget. Those are you have to contribute those every year with in perpetuity, and so they were actually taken away unlawfully for patent, so you could apply for patent. Now you apply for patent, they come up with these lame excuses why you can't have it, and then it takes a 20-year court case. Well, if you had the trustee would look at it, stamp it, and it would be done. He'd send it to the Secretary of Interior. He would be required to sign off on it, and then it would go to the President of the United States, and they would sign off on it. And you get a rodeo title without tax, because there can be no tax, nor can there be any under IRS rules. Gold is just considered yellow rock in its raw form. If it hasn't been smelted, you're under the IRS rules, you don't even have to report that income from the sale of raw materials. If you turn it into a gold brick, melt it down, put it in a gold brick, then you have to pay taxes on it, and it has to have a stamp, and that it's pure, that it's not, and that it's a gold bar, and what it weighs. So that's the deal there. Once it's minted, you would have to pay taxes on it. But if it's just in its raw mineral, so this is how a lot of the mining companies do it. They don't smelt nothing. They don't send it to smelters. If you want to buy it, you want to send it to a smelter, you can do that. You pay the taxes on it. It's in the agreement when you buy it. Because under rodeo title, under the IRS rules, there can be no on gold or any of the valuable deposits. I can name off a zillion minerals. As long as you're selling them in the raw form, and you're selling them to a customer as a private sale, you don't have to report that under IRS rules. Raw gold or raw silver or any raw metal can be sold without any royalties or without tax. And the land can't be taxed, but your house could be. If you put a house on it, then your house can be taxed, but the land wouldn't be would be separated from the house. The house would have a separate title on it. It'd have a warranty deed on it. But the land it was sitting on would have a rodeo title, and the county could not take your house from you, could not take the land from you, because they don't have jurisdiction, because you have a superior, you know, a rodeo title is a superior claim. By the way, there's lots of people in Oregon, if you go to your county records and you read them, have rodeo title. They don't pay taxes. They never have in over 100 years, because they had the original rodeo title, and they didn't let their lawyers transfer it to the county into a warranty deed. Anybody that back in the 50s that went to a lawyer and he says, oh, I think we'll just make this a warranty deed, he was stealing your rights. He was making the county your partner. And you have to pay, this is a one-way street. If you don't pay the premiums to your employer or his distributions of wealth to him, they can take your property and they sell it. And then they keep all the money. They cut you completely out. So how is that not a land get grabbed by the county level? These banks that did these bought and sold houses on the market back in 2007, why it crashed. Well, some of these scams were so blatant, I don't know how they got away with them. They take your mortgage, chop it up into 10 pieces, put it in 10 different mortgage-backed bonds, sell the bonds. So when the bond came and they were looking at all these mortgages, they had a mortgage on a place that had 10 different owners of that, except nobody really knew who owned it because they didn't file the paperwork with the county as required by state law and federal law. They were using that system for quick check and then it wasn't really checking anything. So that's why you had the crash in real estate. The bubble they're building now, this will make 2007. Well, they're not going to back up the banks anymore. What they're going to do is they're going to go to negative interest rates. You're going to have to pay to have money in the bank. If you leave the money in the bank, instead of you getting interest on it, you're going to have to pay the bank interest for holding your money. So instead of getting interest on them using your money, you're going to you're going to have to pay interest on money you have in the bank. We'll call it a service fee, but it'll be something like probably a negative 2.5%. And if you get a negative 2.5%, what are you going to do with your money? You're not going to leave it in the bank. I suggest you buy some of it in gold and silver just to protect yourself, and don't put it in the bank, safety deposit bank, because if it closes, you lose what's in it. You can't get in it. It's seized under the bankruptcy law. So if you want to protect yourself and you want to buy gold or silver or platinum then, or any of the minerals that are currently that you can get, I would suggest you put your own vault in and you keep it in your own vault. You don't tell anybody where your vault is. And then you're covered. And if they don't know where your vault is, they can't come and get it. And so that's the deal there, is if you're going to buy gold or silver, you don't keep it in a safety deposit box in a bank. That's the worst place to keep it because the IRS can have it opened or government officials. Periodically, they go through and they just open them up and look at them, see what's in them. And it's in your agreement when you make a box, read it. The box, it will say that you're giving them the authority if the federal agency comes without a warrant to open your box, they're going to open it. And then they're going to change the locks out. They just put the same key back in and say, who knows who could come and look inside your box. And then, like me, I've got this smartphone I'm talking on and a little laptop. Well, I've got a little laptop and because it's Microsoft versus the Linux operating system on the Samsung 6. It told me I had an intruder and it gave me the date. And if I wanted to pay for the report, they'd tell me which government agency was trying to get into restricted files. They were denied access. They didn't get into it. Somebody in the government, I'd have to pay to find out. Somebody from the government was snooping around in my files, except they didn't have as good as encryption as I had. And guess what I just got to do with them? I just got to dump them out of my system. So now they're never going to get in. So whatever government agency you were looking at my file on the 12th of February, well, you couldn't get in then, and you're never getting in now, because I have on my security systems a two-step method. I won't tell you how it is, but it's a two-step method, and it's encryption, and it's based on my surname. And plus or minus, remember, positive or negative, duality. So Everest has no beginning and no ending on both ends. By definition, in the dictionary of whatever, my last name could be translated into everlasting, having no beginning, no ending, endless, boundless. So my name, I wrote basically a cipher, and I had an idea, and Google wrote the code. And so now what you have is you have a two-step security system with 586 encryption. And this is going to the heart of of what the government's going after Google for. I mean, Apple, for not wanting to get, they're wanting to build backdoors in it. Well, the problem is Apple won't know how to do that because it's a two-step 586 encryption, and it can't be broke. Not with the computer technology they got now. And it has to be written in the code before it was set up, or you wouldn't have a back door into it. You'd have to have a back door in it to get in it. Well, if you build a house with no back door and no windows, and all you got is the one door, how do you get into it? How do you get into a building with just one door? Well, what they think is one door. It's actually two doors. You have a door locking a door. So you open the door, then you got to be able to open the other door, that's the inner door, before you can enter my system. That's why it's called the two-step system. You step one way positive and one way negative, or one way positive, one negative, and they all have to equal one. And when they do that, it's a quantum leap in encryption. And it's only going to get better from here. And the government's not liking it because they can't figure out how to get into it. And so that government employee, whoever you were, I'm assuming it's the Forest Service, because I think other agencies could probably get into my system from what I had before. So either I believe it's the Forest Service, somebody at the Forest Service was trying to hack my computer. I just don't know that because it didn't tell me which government agency that tried to hack my network. I show most everything public, but I have some things that are restricted that nobody can look at, and it's restricted for a reason. And I'm not going to say what it is, but what's private is private, and I don't let anybody see it, but I don't want to see it. And so I thank you, Microsoft. I thank you, Linux. I thank you, Apple, for standing for encryption that would keep people out of your information. I believe if you want to share your information, you're free to do so. If you don't want to share your information, you're free to do so. So, if they want to get into that guy's computer, well, good luck. The guy's dead. What difference does it make? Yeah, hey, did we hear that from somebody? Her best friend, an ambassador? Well, he's dead. What does it matter anymore? Well, then, if that's the case, why does his government need to look at the dead man's computer? And if that's the case, what difference does it make? He's dead. So, they don't need to look at it. But if they want to look at it, spend the $10 billion to figure it out. You're going to do it anyways. So, what we have here is we have a failure to communicate with our fellow man on the concept of freedom and the right to be left alone. I believe if you want to be left alone, that's fine. Now, of course, you don't have the right to go beat somebody up to take cigars so you can make whatever. You know, strong arm rap people. There's certain things that are moral crimes. And if we got back to what was moral, what was correct, I don't care if you're a religious person or not. Our foundation of our government was for the secularists and the deists and the Christians, so we could live in peace. And it's called natural law. Natural law means the law of nature. And the law of nature means it's in man's nature to be free, and that we all have unalienable rights. Unalienable. Nobody can put a lien on your rights. And not inalienable. I don't even know what that word means. They mean unalienable. And so, unalienable means no government can touch them because they can't place a lien on that right. Well, what we have is we have government going out of control, and they're leaning rights. And if you think about it, go down and look at your property things. If you've ever gotten a lien on property, well, I got a lien. They didn't lien the property. They leaned me, which they took it out of some property that was sold. It was over a red light ticket. One of those automated ones. Because I filed all the right paperwork and I told it to the county court, the company that they wanted me to sign a contract with, they kept on pressuring me to make a contract. And then I got a call, supposedly somebody from the state saying, well, I have this bill, this $800 and some over this parking ticket, and I'm from the state to collect. And I said, well, that's great. You'll be getting it in the mail as soon as the property sells. They said, well, we need you to start making payments. I said, I'm sorry. You've been told. I'm in front of this property until the real estate is sold. And there's a lien on it. And that's how you're going to get paid. And they kept on calling me back about every other day. And one day I called the number back, and it was a disconnected number. So I did a little research, and I found out in the city of Medford, in an office in there, they had a person that worked for the red light company that was calling up and getting people to write sign contracts, and they were doing it under the auspice that was a state. Well, that's fraud. When I reported it to Medford police, they did nothing. So what we have is we have fraud being committed in a public-private partnership. By the way, the lion's share of the red light tickets go to that company in Arizona. And when I told them I'm not allowed to sign that contract, I'm not signing it, and they looked at me and, well, we're going to put you in jail. I said, nope, here's a piece of paper that says you can't. And they go, because we don't have debtors' prisons in here for robots. And he goes, what do you mean? I thought that camera was a robot. But can you show me where the authority is for a robot to take a picture? And then I go, there's several states that, well, this is fraud, guys. This is fraud. And I told the guys from the company that came, the city attorney didn't represent the ticket. They brought in the guys from the, I was prosecuted by a corporation on that red light ticket. So, and I don't mean a government coordination, not a municipal. I'm talking about they took a municipal thing and they turned over their ticket book to a corporation over those red light tickets. Well, the judge that I got in, that was going to hear the case, I got him changed to a different guy because he'd been my mom's family attorney. His name was Judge Haberat. And it was funny that he says, well, I don't know Mr. Leland Everest, and I don't know Dorothy Everest. And I thought, that's funny, because how did you know their first name if you didn't know them? That's what I said to him. I said, well, if you didn't know them, how did you know their first names? He goes, what do you mean? I go, that's not even working on my records in front of you. I mean, it's got my name. It doesn't say anything about my parents. Who they are or who they are. And so you just said their first names. So you obviously do know them. By the way, I'll have my dad in here in about 5 minutes and tell him, because you know my mom's dead, so she can't testify. I'll have my dad in here. He'll testify that he knows you quite well. And the next thing I know, he's gone, and I got a new judge. So you have to call conflict of interest where it was. Now, I was calling conflict of interest because I actually liked Judge Haberat, even though he was a slumboy. He got convicted. He's a city judge. He was in private practice, but he used to own houses in the city of Medford. And he got charged and convicted for being a slumlord. That's a city judge. We got a slumlord for being a city judge. He handles all the traffic tickets. And he gave up his private practice. So he sits in court every day and gives people fines so they can put a little bit tiny in the city thing. And then a lion's share goes to this corporation for the red light technology because it's very expensive to install. Nobody could afford to buy it because it's too expensive. It's aerospace-type technology that was originally developed for the military, that they figured out a way to make money by generating revenue for cities in their coffers. And by the way, that company is owned by, I used to know the name of it, I have to look it up again. But what we need to do is we need to have people fight everything. If you get hauled into court, fight them on it. Make them, because see, the city didn't make any money off me, even though they got $600 and some, because it was appealed. I appealed it to the county circuit court judge, which he threatened to put me in jail. And I said, well, when I was sitting there, when I said, oh, really? Well, I think the federal judge will have something to say about that. He goes, what do you mean? I go, well, I was advised that you can decide against me here, but I won't have to pay the bill. I'm informus paupus. and there's no debtor's prison. So if you put me in jail for this debt, federal judge said he'd put you in jail, and that you would stay a lot longer than I would. And I go, because you'd be breaching a fiduciary duty to follow, there's no debtor's prisons in the United States. Debtor's prisons have been outlawed, and they've been outlawed since the day one of this country, because you can't put somebody in jail and have them expect to pay a bill. And then if you got them in jail, then what? You got to pay for staying in jail? No, I don't think so. So what we need is we need people to stand up. And part of the problem we got is when I was in jail, I got a lot of guys out of jail by telling them what to say to the officers. And secondly, they would put a piece of paper in front of them. And they'd say, well, you agree to 5 days. You'll be out in 5 days if you sign this agreement. You can get out today if you sign this agreement. Well, these dumb morons signed that, where if they would have been there 5 days, they would have been done with all the charges, and they would have gone away. They wouldn't have them anymore, because you would no longer be on probation, because they just gave you jail time. And the only way you get to stay on probation and get out of jail is if you sign them and pay them money. They want you to pay them money. It's about paying into the system fees and fines and, fees, lots of fees. So you get all these young guys that are dumb, real dumb. One of them told me he liked meth so much that he liked to bathe in it. So what I told him is that's what I like to do with bath salts. I don't want to take it internally. I'd rather soak in it in a nice bath. And he goes, are you soaking my cook? And I said, of course. He looked at me and he about fell over. He never heard anybody talk to him that way, to tell him that what he was doing was killing him, and that he was being stupid. And so what we have to do is we have to educate these young men from being so dumb. They think they're smart. They're not. They're so easily manipulated by the system to stay in the system. So that's why they have a revolving door, is because the county wants it that way. The state wants it that way. The revolving, it's not about reform or education. It's about revenue. It's about revenue. So follow the money. So in this way, whatever your issues are, you should take them to your county commissioners, your city councils, and lay your grievances on the table. Sometimes you'd be surprised how so few people can make such a big change. Because remember, it was 57 men that signed the Declaration of Independence, and they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to this revolutionary idea. It was really a civil war between us and Britain. If you think about it, we're really all Britons, except that we're now Americans because we chose to separate, because we didn't want to be told what to do from London. Well, I don't want to be told anymore what to do from London. I don't want to be told what to do from Washington, because Washington is the new London. I don't care what you say. If government can come in and murder a man, either by negligence or incompetence, or, you know, even if he didn't have the intent to kill him, but he ended up dead by their actions, that's still unjustifiable homicide. By the way, if you ever talk to a coroner, he'll tell you if somebody's shot and they die, they call that homicide. It's not for them to determine whether it was justified or unjustified. And so coroners will say, well, he was murdered. Well, it's a homicide. So, LaVoy was a homicide. Was it lawful homicide or unlawful homicide? I say it was unlawful, it was unnecessary, and it was evil. And there has to be an audit of accountability. And I demand an audit of accountability of our government officials. And so what I would say is if you really want to keep your republic, wherever you live, wherever you are, you should go and stand up and speak. You should go to these meetings. You should find what's going on. Yeah, it's not easy. You have to give up the TV set, the boob tube, the nut box, whatever you want to call it. You got to put that away, and you got to go start reading. You got to look, what can I do to make my community a little better for people that want to have rights, want to be left alone, don't want the code enforcers at their doorstep because they may have a leaf blown in their yard. What difference does it make if I don't like mowing my lawn? Maybe I like a lawn that isn't mowed. Maybe I think it's more natural. Why is it that some of these places require you to have grass instead of some other kind of front yard? Why is it that you can't put a garden in your front yard? Why has it got to be in a backyard? You know, some people don't have backyards. I know a house that, because it was a corner lot in the city of Central Point, no fence is over 4 foot tall except for the backyard. They can be six. Well, that's ridiculous because if you got a corner lot, you don't have a backyard. So you got to have these short little fences if you're going to have one. And then it requires you, in Central Point, to have grass. You can't have a garden if you don't have it in the backyard. Who says a garden's got to be in the backyard? Why couldn't it be in the front yard? And, you know, there's all different kinds of gardens. There's fruit gardens, there's flower gardens. I mean, come on. Aren't we supposed to be individuals? Why are we being so regulated into poverty? I don't understand. I don't understand why the government thinks you're doing, you know, when I remember Ronald Reagan saying one time, I'm from the government, I'm here to help you. You should run in the other direction because they are the problem. These agency bureaucrats that think that they're all about their fiefdoms and their control and their power. I'm a bigwig because I'm a ranger at the Forest Service. I got a job and I got a badge to get out of jail badge. And I thought, oh, really? That's nice, Mr. Michael Gardner, Forest Service Special Prosecutor. So, I mean, Special Forester. So I asked him, I said, so you're a Special Forester for the Forest Service, right, for trees? And he goes, yes. I said, well, I think you should go talk to them. They're all over here. If you talk to some of the environmentalists, trees talk all the time. So why don't you have a chat with them? They might have something interesting to tell you. And I said, so that's where your jurisdiction is. Guy, go talk to the trees. Don't talk to me. And so what I would ask is if you want to be left alone, if you want to be left alone in your life from government, you're going to have to go get in their face and make them go away. And what matters here is having enough numbers. See, what happened to Lavoie wouldn't have happened if there would have been 10,000 people there. So there's going to be an event where, if you go on Facebook, that they're doing, that they're organizing, and they've already got 10,000 people committed to going to it. So I hope it's a nice event. I don't know how to get there, but because I don't have the money. But I've been sharing it on Facebook. There's a huge event coming up over for Lavoie. I would recommend anybody that can afford it go. But if not, go to your local place, organize something there, and put up signs. Get people interested in what happened to a rancher that was shot with, hands up, don't shoot. That didn't happen in that other case, but it shows you where local law enforcement get accused of it. Hands up, they're shooting unarmed, hands up guys in the cities. So the feds is taking over control of their local law enforcement. Well, here, it was the feds' direction, hands up, don't shoot. And it was a white guy. And there's so many people saying he was trying to commit suicide. That's bullshit. He wouldn't put his hands up if he was going to commit suicide. He would have come out shooting. That didn't happen. And it's obvious they wanted to kill that man. or they had it in their hearts. So I ask for the people, we the people, need to stand to speak for the boy who can't speak now, because they put him in his grave and they shot him. By the way, he was shot so many times that it was ridiculous. It's not the first time I've seen it happen, but the other guy was robbing a bank, and so I could understand that one. The boy was just going to a community meeting. They were starting to come with a group. They were getting ready, because of the educational thing they were doing in that other county, they were getting political momentum. And so under the First Amendment, you can't interfere with the political process, and that's what he was doing. By the way, there was meetings a week before that where he was standing next to FBI agents, talking to them. They had fully automatic weapons, and they were FBI. They weren't state police. They were FBI. They looked like they were state police. They were dressed in the same kind of uniforms, but they were FBI. So those two state cops, are they really state cops, or are they FBI agents put in state cop uniforms? That's what I like to know. There's lots of questions here that have to be answered that the governor of Oregon is trying to prevent by getting the state legislature to pass a law forbidding them to give out the two names that shot LaVoy. Well, that won't work, because those two guys are going to be tried for violating the civil rights. You have a right to know those two names, so you can sue them. And so they won't be able to hide their name or shield them, because their name's going to come out in a wrongful death suit. Oh, I expect it to be somewhere around 25 or 30 million, because they're going to have to pay that. That's what it's going to cost, probably, with attorney's fees and court costs. And by the way, this will be done in federal court. You wouldn't do it in state court. You wouldn't get a federal trial here in state court. You'd file a federal civil law suit for violating Mr. LaVoy's civil rights, and there it's preponderance of the evidence. They could be convicted, stripped of all their wealth, those two officers, and then once they get that judgment against them, they lose this police certification, because they can't get a judgment like that. If they get a judgment like that, even if it's just civil, they lose their jobs, and then they have all this debt, and the state wouldn't be liable for it, they would be. And so they better get good attorneys, because the suits are coming to the state of Oregon. And Ms. Governor, you might be sued in that same process. And it would be neat to see you in depositions. I'd like to be a fly in the room when they're asking your questions. Why did you interfere with this process? Why did you do this? Why did you do that? And see if we can't get her in a lie and have her disbarred. By the way, this goes back to it. She's a lawyer. What is the heck is she belonging to two officer of the court and an officer and the governor of the state of Oregon? How can she hold two offices at the same time, being in two different branches of government? So, because you have the legislature, you have the judicial the judicial side, and you have the administrative side. So she's serving as an administrative side, and she's an officer of the court. I ask for her resignation right now at one or two of the offices. It's her pick. She can leave, be a lawyer, and resign that in perpetuity, or she can resign the governor's office, whichever she wants. Because if she resigned his bar exam, bar license, she'd have to take the test over to get it back. So, and by the way, they don't teach the law, they teach you court rules. When you go to law school, you don't learn the law, you learn court rules, which is not the same thing at all. One's a rule and one's a law, and law is supposed to take precedent over rules. They know all this.
Can you hear me, brother?
So, if I was a federal legislation by Congress, I'd take the ability. I would have all the court rules I'd say you're no longer to have these rules, throw them out. You're going to go by the law, and you better be able to quote it, or you'll be deemed incompetent as a judge, and you'll be thrown off the bench for breach of your character. And secondly, you should be forced to resign the bar when you take a position of judge, because that's the head. The head of the government and the judicial based on how long you've been a judge. So what we need is we need this question answered by our government. How is it possible to be an officer of the court and be in the state legislature or a federal legislature or an administrative branch? How is it possible for you to work for the government and belong to a bar and be in two positions at once? Isn't that unlawful and illegal to be a member of the judicial branch and then a member, be a governor of a state? I think that's kind of an ethics problem, isn't it? Why do you think we have all these ethics problems? It's because government employees have no ethics.
We got the giant bullet into the stomach.
There's a whole movie where there's I forget the guy's name, the actor, but this one actor has to go back to school and graduate in order because he graduated high school, but he never learned anything, so he had to go back to school. And so he had to go to each school before his dad would give him his money back, his inheritance. And so he went back to school, and one of the employees was trained to because he's going to give him the company to run. This one guy that's executive, would be appointed in that job. And so at the final end of the exam, guys meet on stage and they have a debate. And the one question they put to the one guy that wasn't the kid was they asked him an ethics question he couldn't answer. That was the only question he couldn't answer, so he failed, and the guy got his inheritance. But see, that's the problem here, is what we ask our government employees, our government officials, what are your ethics standards and how are you going to hold people accountable? When are you going to conduct audit of accountability? And I don't mean just money. I mean of conduct. That's what an audit of accountability is. Are you performing your duties correctly? I don't care if you're performing your job correctly or incorrectly. Are you performing your job duties correctly? And are you following the public trust that you're so honored to have that you have that? And this is about you serving others as a government employees, not you serving yourself at the people's cost. You're supposed to do things because you want to be community-oriented. Well, then act community-oriented. Don't start don't attack ranchers, farmers, loggers, millwrights, whatever you want, what your thing that makes you happy to be. If you're happy watching TV, well, I'm glad for you. If you're not happy watching TV,
hey, are we live?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. We can run a couple extra minutes here. Go ahead and see if he'll listen when I answer when we answer him in. If he don't, then just hang him up and I'll close it out. We'll give him a couple final words of closing, bud. Hello, Dave. Can you hear me?
Well, my phone just automatically dialed back. Just all of a sudden, it went crazy. Facebook started coming through, and then my phone died, and it automatically redialed on its own.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, I tried to talk to you several times, and we couldn't get through. So we come to the end of the hour, and I was trying to holler at you, so...
I didn't hear you because...
Yeah, okay. So anyway,
I'm sorry about that. I didn't hear you.
Listen. Thanks, Dave. You'll be back tomorrow in the second hour.
Are you done with me? What was
well,
that?
I was trying to tell you.
Don't turn off my thing. I can't hear you.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, that's better.
Oh, okay.
So am I done for the day?
Thanks, Dave.
Where am I at?
Listen. Hey, I was going to... Thanks, Dave.
We're out of time.
Listen, you'll be back tomorrow in the second hour, and the first hour, we've got Ant coming.
Calling about King Joe.
Can you hear him
now? So I'll call you tomorrow about King Joe 11? For what? 10?
Yeah, call me here at the house, and we'll talk more later then.
All right, I'll talk to you later. So have a good day. Bye.
Peace. Thank you. Okay. So, okay, thanks, Dave. Tomorrow, Flash and I will mute the mic again and hand her back over to Dave. Maybe he'll wrap that up. But anyways, I think the bottom line, what we're looking at here is this this system that it's against. It hides itself amongst many names and behind many bushes. Pardon the pun. But it is some type of crown authority that has taken control and used the legalese against us all. And so tomorrow we've got Ann coming back, like I said, and she is going to key us up on some of these words and how they're actually opposite. So we'll really look forward to tomorrow. Thanks everybody for listening. Let's just go ahead and say howdy to all y'all folks over here at RealLibertyMedia.com and listening as well at WorldTruth.org. So there's the barman. He's the secret, or the what would you call the barman? He's like the bot, the magic that does all these little neat things over here. And right there at the top of is Beth Z, a proud member of the Z team, and Grams and Vince, and we're getting flashes this together, I think, and trying to get old Graham to put a Z on him sometime. Another Graham's with a big old Z. There's Keith Rome's free slave. Graham's at work, and I'll be done. See. Java Doctor, a longtime friend at UCY.TV. Thanks, dude. There's, alas, the Osmo Beetle. Somebody, and I'll be done at work. Hey, that man's busy. Juan a Taco Master Brow Oslo. And there's a Paul Bunyan. And one little old Anon listener, Mr. RealLibertyMedia.80807 and I'm there twice. Vinny and Vins together, we are easy. Yo, it's a big easy, baby. And so, thanks again, y'all. Shout out. Thanks, Graham and Mary for WorldTruth.org, Grimner for RealLibertyMedia.com, and always a super shout out to Jules, UCY.TV. I see. Do you see why? What matters worldwide? This has been No Time for Rational Thinking. But, hey, why be reasonable now, right? I prove it. I can't prove nothing. Oops. What? I changed. I'm channeling Grammy now. What? All right. Let's call it a wrap. Love and peace, y'all. They say down there in the land of the Maori, Aroha Nui, huh? Big love. We gone. Peace.